Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and glorious Ronnie Karam. Hey, Ronnie, what's going on?
Well, hello, Ben.
Hi. We have a very special episode today. And first, by the way, let me mention patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens to watch us on video and catch our bonus episodes. All that great stuff. Recaps of The White Lotus, Traitors, Love Island starting in June. Great stuff going on. But for today, we're very excited because we've been super into Below Deck Down Under. And one of our favorites on that show is the chef, Serena. And we are lucky enough to have her on the episode today. We have recorded an interview with her. And without further ado, let's get right into it, shall we?
Let's do it.
Everyone, please welcome to Watch What Crappens, the one and only the chef of Down Under, Serena. Hi, Serena. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Oh my goodness. We're so excited to have you on the show. And we have so many questions. My first question is, are you going to BravoCon this year?
Okay. So I'm actually trying to look for the email to see where my invite is because it's obviously lost somewhere. But I really thought that I would be going and I'm just every day like refreshing my email, like maybe they got my email address wrong because my invite should be here somewhere, but you never know who they're going to invite last minute. And hopefully it will be me.
Well, just ask them. I think that's one of the things you don't wait around because they're wrangling so many people.
Literally, like, who do I call up? Like, hi, Mr. BravoCon. I don't know.
Yes. Mr. BravoCon is actually a real person and is in control of all the invitations we've heard.
Well, maybe if you Laura can get that email for me from Mr. BravoCon.
We don't get emails. Are you kidding? We'll be outside their window, like, climbing up, like, are you happy?
I'm going to be joining you by the sounds of it. We're just going to be there together, party. Like, oh.
Just come anyway. I just go to that to gamble. So just come and we'll play.
Yeah, we'll have a fun time.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. Let's show an Airbnb and just turn up.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just get a hotel across the street and then you just come and say hi to fans anyway and then just go back to gambling.
Exactly. Sorry, Asia. Sorry, Kate. Hi. Yeah.
So how's it been going with this second season of Below Deck Down Under? How's it been the second time around for you?
Well, this is not just the second.
It was just a complete like opposite of my first experience, you know.
Really?
Yeah. It's like night and day, you know.
In what way?
I came out my first season just so happy and had these friendships and like no worries, and like Asia and I still talk together, talk to Margot, talk to everyone, you know, like Harry was coming to visit me all the time, to then this season, like it was just this like whirlwind of mayhem of just, I felt like it's just dicks are being chucked at my face every fucking day with everything from like the weevils to the sous chef to, you know, Lara to everything to just, I was like, what the fuck is happening? I literally felt like I was pulling every single short straw this season. And also, the rocking on that boat, like, I am miserable the whole time because I'm just seasick constantly.
Yeah. Like, well, and they're showing a lot of the rocking becomes actually part of the storyline where people are barking and
finally,
stuff. They hadn't shown that the whole season, right? I don't feel like that was a big part of the season.
No, I mean, it's because there's so much drama, thank you to Enchanté, but I just, there was no space for the rocking, but it was like that almost constantly. And I was just, you know, and I think also as well, like something that I've, like out of this season, like even though I had a sous chef, I actually had less time and I didn't actually, I was more focused on giving Alicia breaks. So I would work harder because I just wanted to look after her so much. But I don't really think in the day or anything I had a break. I was just like 20 hours a day.
Why did you have less time?
I don't know. I think it was because the provisions, getting them to the Seychelles from France, like the amount of paperwork that I was having and then constant calls from the provisioners who do an incredible job, but they have no control of what happens in France. So like you create this whole menu, you get all excited, you get your order in, and then like it's always like the day before, oh, we couldn't get this, we couldn't get that. Right. And then so you're then suddenly recreating menus, and then every single night felt like ready, steady, cook, because you don't actually know what turns up because it's coming in from a flight from France.
Oh my God.
I'm surprised they didn't show that, actually. I guess there was just so much interpersonal drama that they didn't want to.
Yeah, I just think there's so much personal drama that's like boring, I guess.
Well, your season started off with that douchebag sous chef who was like, I'm going to go work somewhere else and be a star. And I heard that his next charter didn't last either, that he went to. Do you know any gossip on that, dude?
I
did he reach out to you? Did he ever reach out to you and be like, oh, sorry, I was a dick?
None of that.
Facebook friends? Was he like, I'm following you now?
He's on his own path, and really, like, something I will give him credit for is that he is actually an incredible chef. He just needs to drop some ego, and in the future he could actually be something incredible.
Good for him.
He really was good. Even like, you know, I know he like messed up a few dishes and the octopus and stuff like that, but it's just the fact that every single chef makes mistakes and you don't have to exaggerate it and point fingers like he always did. Like, you know, he made a mistake and I was like, shit happens. You know, but it's like this craving for perfection in a lot of people this season was really, it was very intense for this. You know, I think it's new people on the screen as well with, you know, like, you know, that this is how the world's going to see me. So I have to be perfect when I think like more personalities like Asia and I are basically like, let's just get the shit done, you know, and cut as many corners as possible and just smile as much as we can. You know,
are the rules for like sous chefs kind of, are they just sort of subjective from chef to chef, kitchen to kitchen? Or are there certain things like industry standards? Like if you're a sous chef, you're doing X, Y, and Z. Like where was there like a disconnect? Or that because he seemed to think that he was basically going to be essentially like a junior partner to you or something. And you were very you need to do some of this stuff to help.
You never really know what he's being prepared for coming on, you know? Mm-hmm. But I did do this post. I actually Googled what a sous chef's role is on that size boat. And it was everything that I was asking him to do. But the credit that I will give him for is the fact that he was used to huge boats, which I've been on also, where the head chef is basically in the office and the sous chef does all the cooking and all of this. And the head chef just comes out to plate the food and go and gives it to the guests and takes all the credit, you know? So I think because he's from these huge yachts, that he was used to doing that. But also in those huge boats, they have like, you know, three crew chefs and two guys washing up. And he'd never been on a boat this size before. So I think it was just maybe like the mix up. And that's also from my side as a boss, I should have read his CV more and actually come to him and shown him on Google and like kind of explained to him, like on this boat, this is actually the role. So let's go with it.
But also you're the boss. So if you say this is what we're doing, he should just be like, okay, this is what I'm doing. He can also just like get in line.
Yeah, I think for me, like when he left, it was like, you know, it was, I feel like the cut, like when he left and also when Vianne left, it was almost like the season like started, you know, because before that, it was just a lot of, you know, a lot of everything. A lot of male egos and a lot of toxic around. Then suddenly when all the boys left, then it was just Harry and all the girls left on the beach on the day off together, you know?
Well, it was interesting to see once those guys left, because the first part of the season was so full of like male toxicity and like the male ego thing. And then the second part of the season moved over to women ego, like battling, like with, it kind of moved to the women dynamic. And I was like, oh, this is different, because you don't often see that on the show where it's two heads of department or both women and just trying to navigate around those feelings and stuff. Because a lot of the stuff that we saw this season on screen was feelings. It was like, well, this is what I felt like because of stuff that happened when I was younger. So it was, you know, like this episode, you're talking a lot about how you're just triggered by Laura because of things that had happened when you were a kid. And then she's talking about like how she's triggered by you because of things that happened with her boyfriend, and like how you acted, maybe went to lunch with her boyfriend or whatever after you were together.
Can so I it was actually a total different about take that? On
like egos and how they work together, you know?
I literally was at the stage that my therapist was like, drop it, Sarina, we're letting go, it's almost at the end. Lara's saying that on screen, that I went to go and have lunch with her cheating boyfriend a month after they broke up. She sent me to go and spy on him to meet the new girl.
And then she used it against you later.
Yeah,
that's
now
cold.
She's used it against. She was like, I need to know what this new girl's like. Go. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, I don't mind him. I actually saw him at the boat show, you know, recently. You know, that's them, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and also when we worked on the boat together, he was actually the only person that was nice to me. So I will always take that.
Yeah, and it must be hard. I would imagine that being a yachtie is much like being a gay guy, because we always talk about when we go out, whenever you meet somebody that you're dating, you have to be like, okay, well, who did you bang in this friend circle? You know, because it's a smaller circle. We can't have that.
I think I'm going to regret saying this, but it's just like, you know, she uses, God. But yeah, it's just like, when I heard that, it for me, I was just like, this guy, like, he wasn't nice to her. Like, I'm going to 100% give her that. Like, he cheated on her all the time. She'll come running to my apartment and cry all the time. I'll always let her in, always hug her. Every time he's cheated on me again. I kept being like, break up with him. And now watching back this season, because they were working together, I was just thinking, God, all he had to do is say that she was late for work.
Mm-hmm. You found the trigger point. That's all he had to do.
That's all he had to do. And then it probably would have. That's so bitchy. Oh my God, that is so completely bitchy.
It's also funny.
Well, you're at the right table for that.
Really catty. I'm a little bit shocked at myself. I think I was just a bit tripping watching it back and being like, is this girl still lying?
Well, like, yeah, she brought it into evidence. You know what I mean? You didn't bring it up out of nowhere. It was in the show. So
you obviously had like a really a close relationship with Lara, enough that she would come to your place and would be either crying or whatever. Like, she would be venting to you about her boyfriend. So watching this season, you know, obviously it seemed like a big turning point between the two of you, as presented on screen, was the mafia night, where there was the issue with the plates. And it felt like these were the plates that destroyed a friendship. And why were you guys not able to, like, given that you have, like, a friendship and everything, why were you guys not able to sort of, like, cut this off at the pass? And instead it really just got worse and worse and worse from that point on.
I just, for me, I just realized, like, if I say no to this person, it's going to make it worse for me. You know, I was having, so Below Deck are incredible for this, by the way. After every single charter, I was allowed to take my microphone off and go and have 2 hours of therapy with my therapist. And so I think this is why I've kept a lot of my cool with certain situations. And also, not kept my cool in a lot of situations. But basically, like, it's just like this constant thing that goes around in my head is that you can't say no to a narcissist. And so it was like this, like, with the plates, I was like, well, if I say no to her, then that's when the war's going to start, you know? But then I felt like I really lost something in me. And then in the end, I was like, she's just going to take everything from me and take my sous chef and take everything unless I actually start standing up for myself. And I can't believe that for the first time I've ever, like, properly stood up for myself, ended up being on TV.
Wow.
You know?
Because it wasn't really about the plates, right?
But it wasn't. Right. It, this right. is the thing. And it wasn't about the crew mess. Like, all the crew were helping out with the crew area. You know, Adair every night was cleaning it. Harry would go down and clean it. Everyone would chip in and help. But it was just this, like, power trip of pokey, pokey, pokey. And I just always felt like I just had to, like, almost stand in front of Alicia and be like, no to her. Yeah,
that feels wildly inappropriate. It feels like Alicia is supposed to be in the galley with you and you're prepping meals. You're doing, like, you guys are the smallest department and you have to service all these guests and all the crew. You guys have so much literally on your plate. And so it was just wild to us watching that, like, why is she calling upon Alicia to clean this crew mess? Like, there's literally three stews and a swing.
Yeah, and literally, and also, like, watching her, like, powwows lying on the bed talking about boys in the morning, like, so who's kissed who last night and all of this? Clean the fucking cream ass.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Every successful business starts with an idea. And on the best idea yet, we're obsessed with those light bulb moments.
Like how a bored barista invented the Frappuccino during his downtime, and then it got acquired by Starbucks.
Or how Patagonia's iconic fleece was inspired by a toilet seat cover.
On the best idea yet, we dive into the untold origin stories behind the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who made them go viral.
These are the wild ideas and insights that made Birkenstock the best-selling sandals since Jesus.
And made Super Mario the most played video game in the history of attention span.
Yeah, Nintendo almost became a ramen company until Super Mario saved it.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And if this podcast lasts longer than 45 minutes, call your doctor.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
She got so upset when Alicia went swimming. So it's like, well, you know, extra time.
There's actually a different reason why she got upset over that. She basically, it's just, she wanted to say that Alicia was allowed to go swimming, not me, because before she had basically let her go swimming in the middle of other things that I've done, but they only showed it that time. Jason basically said to me as well, like your girl needs something nice. And I was like, yeah, she does. And Alicia gets very tired and she's not a morning person. And her brain just needed to wake up, you know? So it's just like, I'm just, the best way to do it is like, it's either get in a cold shower or jump in the water. And there was an opportunity for her to actually do something fun and get some dopamine and some oxytocin. But it was just, Lara was upset because she wasn't the one who said, you may go and do this. And I made this thing.
Yeah. It's a control thing, kind of like the rest. I mean, a lot of the questions I think viewers have after watching it is, so many of the below decks operate differently, as I imagine different yachts do. I mean, in some of them, you see the chief stew and the chef go over what dishes are going to be used at the very beginning. Like, here we go. These are the dishes we're going to use tonight. And they kind of go over the theme and everything, where it seems like the dishes were something that happened in the very end, or, you know, where she noticed at the very end, like, I don't want to use these dishes, or the crew mess. Like, if we're not deciding how the crew mess is going to be handled, who decides that? I mean, is that ultimately something that the captain needs to come in and say, okay, well, today I'm going to come in and I'm going to delineate these, you know, I'm going to make lines in the sand of who does what.
Yeah, I think I do feel like I needed personally, like, a bit more from Jason, in the fact that, like, if you Google it, like, the chef outranks a chief stewardess.
Right.
You know, and also, like, I think one of my favorite comments was her being like, she doesn't even call me chief stewardess. I'm not here demanding like, please call me head chef. It's head chef's arena to you. Like, I just need to get out food and do it in peace. And actually have communication. And I'm so sorry that the radio doesn't match your sexy outfit tonight, but I'm going to need that communication from you.
Yeah,
you
know?
We definitely noted a new microaggression there. I was like, okay, chief stewardess noted.
Yeah.
When you made that comment, I've never had a stewardess, like, you know, challenge me on plates, whatever it was. Were you trying to get under her skin in that moment? Or was it just like, you just were...
No. I'm fucking tired. I'm working 20-hour days. I'm on a night out, you know, like, I'm so sorry that I didn't say chief, you know. It's
But when you watched it back, were you kind of like, ha? You're like,
no,
you're kind of like, I didn't mean to say that, but it was kind of funny that it got under her skin.
I didn't really know. Like, I didn't see any of it in a malicious way at all, just because for me, watching back, it's actually been really emotional. It's seeing a friendship that I thought was really strong, and I'm just watching it collapse more and more and more. And also, I feel like it's brought out it's almost like she just knows how to poke me and try and get, you know, a reaction in these certain things out of me, so she can go, oh, see, I told you it's her. You know, right. She's very good at antagonizing. Maybe that's you. The word.
So you know? We saw in this episode that you guys had made up. You know, Jason told her, look, all you have to do is apologize. And she was like,
yeah. And what? Thankfully, Jason is just a hero at this point. But still, she thinks, like, you know, I'm favored in some way, and it couldn't possibly be that she's done something wrong. It's because Captain Jason favors me. It's like, why can't you just, you know, just really reflect and just realize that, like, it wasn't about favoritism.
Right.
You know, like, you actually have to take some accountability. And if the captain's telling you, just go and do it, because he's not telling me, you know, right. And Captain notices everything. That man is like fucking, it's like a sneaky little cat that just, he's in every single department. He knows everything that's going on. That man, he just walks around quietly.
That guy is hiding behind the damn door every scene.
Yeah,
you see him kind of
like,
lurking there, hearing like what's going on.
Jason knows what's going on. He knows the deal.
He's got a stealth kimono. I thought it was interesting when you brought up mental health stuff that that Below Deck is really good about making sure that there's a couple of hours to talk to your therapist. Because you see on some shows like The Bachelor where they have mental health people there as part of the crew. Is that how Below Deck works? Or do you guys have your own people that you can talk to?
So I've had my own therapist for ages, but I've also used the Below Deck ones. Whenever at any point while filming, if we say to anyone that's around us or even point into a camera and say, you know, I need to talk to the therapist or something, they jump straight on it. It's obviously all for free through Bravo as well. Like the mental health side of it with Bravo is actually compared to any other reality TV show is incredible. And I've had sessions with their therapist before as well, you know, and it's different to how my therapist is because she's obviously known me for years and knows how my neurodivergent brain works and my ADHD and my patterns and stuff. So it was easier for me to personally, at the end of every charter, have my own personal therapist because I would be like, you know, I just fucking screamed at Lara and she'd be like, hey, well, where was that from? You know, so she could help me navigate it.
So much. I love therapy.
Oh, I'm a therapy whore. Like,
when I watched the season, at this point of the season, when things are so tense, it's remarkable to me that then you two both have to share a bedroom together. And, you know, when you're talking about therapy, I have to imagine like sitting there in that room with the person who's driving you nuts. I mean, how did you even deal with that?
Actually tried to kick me out a few times and move Brie in, but I kept saying, like, if you want to move, you have to do it. Like, I'm too busy. Like, if you need to move all your stuff and do your thing, then you do it. But yeah, no, she constantly just wanted to bunk with Brie. Like, I think that was literally from like Charter 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and what were there things, you know, going back to what you talked about with the plates, you said, like, you know, you don't want to say no to a narcissist. So that implies that leading up to that plate moment, there were things that were happening between you two that clearly brought you to a place like, oh God, like this lady's a narcissist, or at least she's a pain in my ass. And we saw hints of it. But was there more than was portrayed in the show that was maybe sidelined because of all the Vian drama?
Mm-hmm. It was a lot of comments mocking, putting me down from day one, which I just wasn't even expecting. It was like night and day from the phone call we had before stepping on board of, we're going to be girls, we're going to lift each other up, I love you so much, to as soon as I go up to her, like, yo, sexy mum, and she looks at me like I'm an absolute freaking weirdo. And I was like, fuck.
Wow.
Like, something just...
The TV effect take place.
Yeah, to be honest, actually, I didn't think of that. It could be about cameras and having to look and act a certain way. You know,
it's part. A lot of it is from watching so many Housewives shows because we cover so much Bravo, and a lot of that happens on Housewives where someone will bring, they'll recommend their friend for a show. Did you recommend her for the show?
Yeah, yes, I did. So she's still in denial about this, but again, like, I had the receipts.
Well, it makes sense. You were on the same boat, and then she ended up on TV. So, I mean,
So basically, they wanted her for other franchises, and she kept being like, oh, I don't know. Then she called me up, I think about 6 months before, being like, are you doing Down Under? Because I will only do Below Deck if I'm with you. And I was like, and I do that. There was someone else that was going to be the chief stewardess. She denies this, that I literally basically convinced them and begged them that Lara would be the better option. And wow. I've never regretted anything more. But my therapist will hate me for saying that, because you never know who the other person would have been.
Right, that's true. It could have been a monster.
The world works in its certain ways. And what I've got and realized out of this season is so much learning, you know, and So I think with, you know, the therapy has helped so much. I understand and yes. understanding what toxic behaviors are. And actually this whole season watching it back now, I'm studying therapy. I'm watching it almost like a documentary, you know?
And so are you seeing any stuff that makes you look at her differently? Like when you see how she's talking about her feelings being hurt or whatever in her her confessionals, or I saw she did a... I think it was a TikTok or an Instagram live or something where she was saying, you know, I know you guys have just watched this episode and all the haters are out in full force. And she didn't really say sorry or anything. I guess it was just a bad episode for her. And she was coming out basically saying, like, it hurts, you know, when you guys are coming after me and stuff. And I would imagine that would be hard watching, having the whole world reacting to you or calling
you an asshole. I feel absolutely terrible for her and the hate that she's getting. Like, there's no person in the world that should ever get death threats. And this is why I went on my social media and was literally like, people need to calm the fuck down. It's a TV show. Like, we can laugh about it, we can make jokes and stuff, but the difference is at the beginning of everything of Anthony and everyone saying that I was a shit chef, I was getting death threats and all of this, but I wasn't going on my social media and crying about it, you know? And all she was doing is putting more fire, like, on the flame on her social media, like, yeah, the siren has always been like this, you know? And, you know, but when it's the other way around, no, you stop it. You stop the bullying.
Well, if she feels like you've always been like that, then why do you think that she would want to come on the same season as you? Do you think that she felt like she would have a built-in, I don't know.
I really don't know, to be honest. Like,
tricky.
For me, it's really tricky because I feel like I am so proud of myself for being neurodivergent, dyslexic, ADHD, and all of this. And I managed to do something as incredible as Below Deck and support those people and get myself out there and build myself a platform where I'm at a stage where I can actually begin to help other people to then introduce her into my world, which took me so much in my career to get to that stage, to have the honor of being invited to Below Deck, to then be treated like that. I think that for me was just like the biggest stab in the back for me. It's I let you in my world and I put you on a platform from day one. I put you right up there on that platform and told everyone how incredible you were. You know, no, messaging Captain Jason, got an incredible cheese stew this season, all the production, you know, this is going to be great. This is going to be great to turn around and get that.
Yeah, what I was going to say earlier, speaking of ADD, is when we watch Housewives shows, a lot of times you'll see women bring their friends in and get them on the show. And then the first thing they do, like within 2 or 3 weeks, is turn on the friend, you know, on camera. And it's a weird phenomenon that happens when the camera turns on, where I think it seems like people feel the need for that drama and just go for the most comfortable way to get the drama.
Yeah, I think. Wondering
if it's the same.
I have no idea. I think that maybe the boat was really difficult. The lift didn't work. I think the pressure of all the cameras and everything, I think it must have been really, really hard for Lara and her personality type to be around that and not be able to show how perfect she was and actually have control. Her last captain literally let her have control of the whole boat, and she's always been Queen Bee, and suddenly there's two people in the way, which is Jason and I, and she's never had that.
Yeah.
You know, it must have been really difficult on those stairs every day, the heat, you know.
Stairs. Oh, but my God.
I have a pressing question about this, about the air conditioning. Did you guys have air conditioning on that boat?
No, I had no air conditioning in the galley.
Because it's like all season long, we're seeing you guys sweat, but it's like not just outside, it's inside. It was just
and the shit I've got for people being like, oh my God, you're not wearing shoes. You're like, you're in shorts in the kitchen. It's like, I have no air conditioning and I'm in a stainless steel fucking prison. Like, my feet were so swollen, I couldn't get them in to my shoes. Like, you think I want to wear shorts and be barefoot in a kitchen? Like, it was horrendous. horrendous.
Do they not have air conditioning for the guests as well? Or is it just staff that didn't?
Some of the guest cabins, I think actually, I don't know if it's this episode or the one before, Adair makes a funny comment about being in a guest cabin. She's like, oh my God, there's actually air conditioning in here and my nipples are hard, you know, because I think it was just a shock that there was a place on the boat that was actually cool.
Yeah, this is like one of the sweatiest seasons we've ever seen. So I guess my one of my last questions here for you is, for you and Laura, is this kind of the end of the road for you, or is it a situation where it's like, oh, we don't work well together, but we can be friends out of the boat? But it sort of sounds like this is it.
Well, to tell the truth, when things started going sour for her after I took all the hits at the first half of the season, I actually sent her a message and reached out with an olive branch. And, you know, like, we don't need to go head to head. We can show the public that, you know, we can, you know, do this. Like, well, that was my olive branch.
It's interesting because I'm always wondering what happens while you guys are waiting for the season to air, because it takes a while. And then as it airs, it's all brought up again.
Everyone's scared of her. She's, if we had it on our old boats, even when Adair did her post a few days ago, she said something bad about, something about the crew mess. And Adair was like, I actually clean that crew mess all the time. And she's like, I'm sorry, Lara, at the end.
Whoa.
Wow.
So that's why it's interesting that control would last so long after the season even wraps.
Yeah.
What are you doing to people?
That is wild.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't like that.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you, you've managed to emerge from this boat without being totally traumatized.
To be honest, I'm actually, like I said, with studying therapy and, you know, understanding limits and boundaries, it's been a huge learning curve. And, you know, I really thought I was going to regret this season, but now I've got to such a good stage with all these last few episodes. I've actually been howling with laughter through them. You know, how ridiculous is it? Two full grown ass women add it over fucking plates and shit. Like, who fucking does that?
We love it.
Who gives a shit?
We love it.
Below Deck classic, though. I mean, Below Deck is so popular because people like to watch people argue about who mopped. It's my favorite thing ever. Like, we'll get really upset about it. It's like, she didn't clean that room right.
You know,
go up in arms.
But no, I will say though, everything with Lara and everything, that boat was difficult and she did do the best that she could. It was a hard boat. It really, really was. And so, that's going to cause extra stress and tension and all of that. But
I guess when it comes to people from the past on Below Deck, so far we've had Joao and Lara, and it's been, has not, so far we haven't had a great resolve with either of them. But my question to you is, As we wrap this up, since you are a chef and we both love to cook, I would love to know what your favorite stuff is to cook on a yacht.
On a yacht?
Yes. Or actually off a yacht. Like, what do you like to cook?
Yeah,
I'd like to know.
Everything at home and everything with my private clients is all gut health. I'm known as the gut health queen. I clear people's guts out. So that's what I specialize on, I guess.
Kimchi.
Oh my God, my parents have banned me from making kimchi. On boats, I actually really do enjoy making sushi because it's something that I feel like you can make really, really beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Cool. Well, this has been great chatting with you.
I hope it wasn't too bitchy. I feel like...
Are you kidding? You're on Watch What Crappens.
I don't want to crappens on too many people and upset
No, it's not. Know? It's not being bitchy. You're just talking about... The whole show is about your personalities in the season and how you work together and how it's all ended up. And it's extended past the season. So why not? Yeah. It's not bitchy.
I hope not. It's just, you know, you're always so worried that you're going to, you know, be accused of bullying all of that, but it's just this is my version of how it happened and this is how I feel.
Yeah, well, being accused of something and it being the truth are two different things, my friend. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So open. Yeah, it's great seeing you.
ADHD open book. I can't help it.
We love it.
I hope we get to hang out at a slot machine in Vegas. We'll meet you somewhere.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no Trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie. She has no less namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.